Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It's good to see all of you here. Just a few announcements. One is to make sure that you read the announcements in the back of your bulletin. There's a couple of things in there, and there's one thing I'd like to highlight is about the flu clinic. We will be hosting a flu clinic in a few weeks, and there is some information in the bulletin, but there will be more information to come. Also, I'd like to highlight that today is Rally Day. And so Sunday school this morning will be held in the fellowship hall. The activities will be in there. After worship, everyone is welcome to go to the fellowship hall and be a part of the opening for Sunday school and see some of the activities that are going on in there. And then we'll have the meal after that. And after the meal, there will be more games and activities. And also, too, I would like to have a meeting with the parents of the new confirmation class. And I'll grab y'all when it looks like everybody's about through with their food. So it'd probably be around 12:15 or 12:30, somewhere around in that neighborhood as well. Okay, Terry, you had announcements.
A couple of quick ones. This is Grandparents' Day, so the youth would like to honor our grandparents. We have made a special gift for you, and there will be youth at each of the doors to make sure that you get that gift, but please stop by and make sure you get that gift. It's a little sweet for the sweets. Also, coming up soon, we are going to have a decorating contest for pumpkins. And we need to know how many pumpkins to get, so we need you to sign up. And we're asking you to do a Bible character or a Bible story on your pumpkin. No carving, just decoration. And we need to have that sign up fairly soon. We're going to begin today. I think there's some over there in the annex. There's one in the basement, and I'm going to have one at the hall. So be sure to sign up, and it ought to be a lot of fun. There are prizes.
All right. Thank you, Terry. Are there other announcements? Anybody else with announcements? If not, we begin with our opening hymn, "His Banner Over Me Is Love." Please rise. Congregation may be seated, and you are asked to follow along with Holy Baptism. It is on page 121 of your green book of the Lutheran Book of Worship, page, the first part of the book. Okay, and y'all are welcome to gather over here then. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water in the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with Him and with His people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
We present Jesse to receive the sacrament of holy baptism.
In Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring him to the services of God's house and teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As he grows in years, you should place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for his instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of their baptism and in communion with the church, he may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ, Do you promise to fulfill these obligations?
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood you condemn the wicked and save those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit, so that he who is here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of him who is cleansed by this water, and bring him forth as an inheritor of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises?
Amen.
Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Jesse James Maddox, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Jesse, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Jesse, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of this child. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for their child. Strengthen them in their own baptism so that they may share eternally with their child the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through baptism, God has made this new brother a member of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world. We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, a child of the same Heavenly Father, and worker with us in the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. And I think we have a presentation of your gifts this morning.
On behalf of Cradle Workshop here at St. Paul Lutheran Church, we'd like to present Jesse with this hand-crocheted blanket. May each stitch remind you of the love that God has for all of his children. And may God's blessing shine on you throughout your lifetime.
On behalf of the women of St. Paul Lutheran, I want to present this Bible to Jesse. As you grow in years, learn God's word and carry them with you in your heart.
All right. Now he's happy. He can see everybody. Our newest member. We sing our next hymn, All in All.
The first lesson is from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. So you mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now, you mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. We will read it responsibly. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Make me go in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire.
Incline my heart to your decrees, and not to my understanding.
Turn my eyes from watching what is worthless. Give me life in your ways.
Fulfill your promise to your servant, which you make to those who fear you.
Turn away the reproach which I dread, because your judgments are good.
Behold,
the second lesson is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 11, 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in this word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For the salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Everybody ready for rally day?
Good, good. Because we got lots of stuff for you today. There we go. Everybody scoot in. We're going to have a crowd today. That's great.
All right. Come on in. Find you a spot. So, rally day. Fancy word, rally, right? Anybody have an idea what it might mean? Well, I've heard it all my life because I've been through lots of rally days, but I had to look it up myself and just to kind of see. I had an idea in my mind, but I wanted to make sure. And rally means a calling together or a renewing of something. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good name for a day like this. Is calling all you guys together and let's have some fun, right? Okay? But there's a challenge in it, and I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But first, I want to show you this. This is my babies, okay? We used to play marbles when we were little, okay? And what you would do is you'd draw a circle in the dirt, or you'd have a circle or draw it on the with chalk on the sidewalk, and then you'd throw the little marbles out into that circle. Now, the whole idea was then to use your big shooter marbles to knock them out. And the last person to knock the last one out won. Now, if you can imagine, you could play this game by yourself, but imagine how much more fun it is if you had more people. Okay? And one thing about it, you have maybe had some special marbles like this is a Steely. That was a hard one to find. Okay? But the one thing in all that packet that was most important were the shooters. They kind of became special to you because you started to trust it, and it became the one that you wanted the most. And you always could trust it to make a good, even shot and hit that marble just right and knock it out. So, if you finished the game and you walked off and you got home and you opened your bag up and you found that one of the little ones was missing, would that seem that important? It could be, if it was one of the more
really important to me because it would be very expensive.
Yeah, it might be one of the more expensive ones, but most of the time you could go down to the store and get the little ones. But the shooters, now that was another story. They were special, okay? One, you trusted it, and you knew it was your special marble. And I guarantee you, if I left a little marble in that circle and went home, I might have thought about going back, but if I left my shooter there, I would have run back to get it. And I mean run back to get it. That's why I have three of them, because I have three special ones, and I guarantee you they're all special, okay? So what has that got to do with Rally Day? Well, let's look at our psalm, and that'll tell us. Verse 37, turn my eyes from watching what is worthless and give me life in your ways. I like the word watching because today we watch a lot. We watch TV, we watch our phones, we watch our pads, and sometimes we think that that's the most important thing. But I just got from my brother who passed away my family Bible, 100-year-old Bible. And I guarantee you, I brought it home. I was taking really good care of it, just like my shooter. See, the challenge of Rally Day is we're going to have fun today. We're going to have games and everything. But we're doing a little something different today. You're going to get to meet some Bible people, some characters in the Bible. Okay? And that's what's the challenge of Rally Day, is to have every Sunday be a Rally Day. The gospel says we're two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. So we could do it with two or three people. But imagine how much more fun every Sunday would be if all of you were here today like this and everybody was playing the game. It'd be a lot more fun, wouldn't it? And I guarantee you that Bible, that 100-year-old Bible, still has these characters in it. And these characters are very, very special, and they are priceless like the shooter. So I hope you managed to come every week and be part of our rally every day. Okay? Now, we're going to do our prayer, but
But then we got something special to do. I want you to stay put, because we're going to get all the other camp boys and girls that went to camp and all the other people that were at Bible school that maybe are still out there to come up. And then the congregation is going to help us sing one of our songs that we sang at Bible school, okay? All right, but let's do our prayer first. Dear God, help us to remember that every Sunday is a rally day, and that every day you're waiting for us to tell us wonderful and marvelous things, special things that are not worthless but are priceless. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so I want you to stay put, because we're actually going to do that song where we divide up, and we're actually perfect right now. You're going to stay on that side, and you're going to stay on that side. All other camp people, all other people, all other boys and girls that were at Bible school, come on up too. Help us sing the song. All right, let's put you on that side. You three stay on that side. You three go on this side. And you come over here. All right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you have this in your bulletin, okay? And you will notice that there's a first verse, a second verse, and then on the third time through, you get to choose. So here's what we're going to have you do. On the third time through, we would like this side to do verse 1. And we'd like this side to do verse 2. Okay, so we're going to do verse 1, everybody, verse 2, everybody. And then the third time through, your verse 1, your verse 2. At the same time. Believe it or not, it comes out like a round. Okay? One side just goes a little faster than the other. All right. Are we ready there, Pastor?
Yep, we're ready.
Words are over here. I'll get out of the way. Thank you, guys. You can go on back now.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you've recognized, it is Rally Day. We've got things going on here in church, and then after church, we've got lots of other things. We've got games going on and a meal going on and Sunday school and activities and all that going on just to get us together, to get us started for the new year of Sunday school and the Christian Ed programs here at the church. Christian Ed is one of the most important things that we do around here because it is through Christian Ed then that we start to learn about who God is and what Jesus has done for us and about the church and all these other things. And we start young. We start with little bitties and move on up through elementary school and junior high and high school. And it doesn't stop. You know, there's a kind of a misnomer or practice that, you know, once you go through Sunday school and after you go through that extensive program of confirmation program and you are confirmed, well, you're done. You graduate. You don't have to learn anything else. You don't have to come and participate anymore. That's a misnomer because with Christian education, it continues for a lifetime. We do have adult groups that meet here. We have an adult Sunday school class. We've got the women's Bible circles that still meet on a regular basis. And every once in a while, we also have some extra Bible classes or studies that we go through. And so Christian education is a lifelong thing. But it doesn't just happen here at church. Hopefully, Christian education is going on at your own homes. You know, at the baptism, this morning and at all baptisms, then one of the gifts that we give to parents or to the child that's been baptized is a new Bible. To be able to start to be in that word very early. The Bible, those children's Bibles that we give at baptism then, make good story times at bedtime when you're putting a child to bed or at any time during the day. You can read those Bible stories, and it's important that children start to learn just the basic stories within the Bible, the story of creation, or the story of Noah, the story of the Israel or the Hebrew people and Moses, the stories of Jesus and his disciples, all the stories of the healings and the miracles that Jesus did, the story of the cross and the resurrection, the story of the ascension and the story of the new church as it started to grow in the New Testament. Kids need to know those basics. They need to know those stories and be familiar with them because they're great stories. Just in themselves, they're just great stories to hear and learn because that then starts to build the curiosity. God's Word is so important for our lives. It is the basis of who and how we believe. It's the basis of our faith. It's where we get that information from faith. The Holy Spirit leads us as we read scriptures. I know that every time I read through a passage, and I may have read a certain passage 25, 30 times, each time there's something new that pops out that passage. It's always intriguing. It's always engaging. It's always drawing. There's several things we need to think about when reading Scripture or what Scripture does for us. This morning I'll be looking at the Psalm and what that says, and it'll help lead us into how we approach Scripture and how important Scripture is for us. I'm not going to go through all the verses of the Psalm because actually Psalm 119 has 176 verses. But I think we will be looking at most of these verses that we read this morning. Okay, so verse 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end." One of the first things we need to do as we approach Scripture is to admit that this is the Word of God. You know, how else do we know who God is? Here is the psalm writer here, and he's pleading to God, "Teach me. I need to know your word. I need to know who you are and what you'll have for my life." And so we have to admit that there is a God. there is a God, and that the Holy Scriptures that we read, the Old Testament, New Testament, are His Word. That's what He has for our lives. It tells the stories of faith and how God has interacted with the people throughout history, but it also has messages for God's will for us. It applies to us. This is the Word of God. We have to admit to that. You know, I think every human being, there is an aspect of spiritual. There's always a longing to know who God is and what God wants for them. Whether they're Christian or Buddhist or Islam or any other religion, there's that spiritual element within people because God created us in His image. He put that spark within everyone. And whether or not people recognize it or whether people recognize it as true, it is there. Even atheists have it, or even agnostics have it. There is a longing to know who God is. As Christians, what defines us is that what is true about God is what is in Scripture. That's the basis of our faith. That's the foundation where we go to within our faith. And so first thing is we admit that, yes, this Bible is what we believe. We believe that this is the Word of God. Here in verse 34, it says, "Give me understanding that I may keep your law. I shall keep it with all my heart." Okay, so first we admit that, yes, the Bible is the Word of God, and that is the true Word of God, not the other religions' literature or not the other religions' teachings, but the Bible is our basis. That's what we believe. But here it takes another step then. Okay, we not only have to admit it, but we have to understand it. We have to gain in wisdom and understanding. And that's where we are with Christian education, is building and teaching and learning and growing in our knowledge and understanding of what Scripture is about. And gaining then that message. What is God's will for us? How will God have us live? And how are we to live within our hearts? To understand what God is saying to us. And then verse 36 and 37. "Incline my heart to your decrees and not to unjust gain. Turn my eyes from watching what is worthless. Give me life in your ways." Okay, so we take another step forward here. Not only do we admit God's word, that Scripture is God's word and that's God's message to us, not only do we start to gain in wisdom and understanding and see what God wants for us, now comes the hard step, and that is to submit to God's word, to say, "Yes, Lord, I am going to give up everything in my life to come follow you, to follow what Scripture says for me." You know, there's a lot of times in Scripture or within our lives that we don't understand what God is doing. And we think, "I know better. I know better than God, so I'm going to make my own decision on what I'm going to do. Even if it is contrary to Scripture, even if it's contrary to the teachings of the church, I know better." But that doesn't work out very well. Most of the time, that just does not work out very well. We have to submit to what God says. If this is our guiding principles, it is what's said in Scripture, how the Holy Spirit leads us in interpretation of Scripture, we need to submit our lives to that. And that's hard, because when we don't, that's when we get into trouble. That's when sin creeps up into our lives. That's when the ugliness that we do see in our lives crawls in. That's when we are not happy. That's when we do not have joy. That's when we do not have peace, is when we say, "I'm not going to submit to this Scripture. I'm not going to submit to these teachings." And our lives are in trouble. But there's hope. If we look at, I'm going to skip to 39. It says, "Turn away the reproach which I dread, because your judgments are good." Here the psalmist is saying, "I do not always submit. There's a lot of times I make my own choices, and because of that, I am a sinner. I do sin, and I am a sinner. And he feels that within his life. And he knows God's judgments are good. What God demands on from us is good. When we disobey what God commands, God's judgments are good. They're true. They're realistic. But sometimes they are very harsh. Because to turn away from God means that we are turning away from life. We are turning to death. And so here he says, repent. Or he says, turn your eyes from watching. Turn away the reproach which I dread. Rather, he's asking for forgiveness. That we do need forgiveness because we are not perfect. That sin creeps into our lives and we turn away from God. So we ask for forgiveness. This morning is one of the best passages in the gospel lessons, gospel writings about forgiveness and how we are to forgive one another. Not only that God forgives us, but that we too are to forgive one another. Here the psalmist is asking for forgiveness because he knows he has sinned. And then if you look at verse 38, fulfill your promise to your servant, which you make to those who fear you. And verse 40, behold, I long for your commandments in the righteousness to preserve my life. In verse 38, he says, fulfill your promise. And God gives us the promise. He gives us that promise through Jesus Christ. As we learn Scripture, we learn that story of Jesus Christ, of how God emptied himself, came into this world as Jesus Christ. He relinquished all that power that he had, but at the same time was God, but he was also human, took on human flesh. He became one of us. He emptied himself. He gave it up for us. And he went to the cross. He died and rose again. We have that promise that he gives for eternal life. He gives us that promise that we will be raised with him once again. And there's one more thing to be looking at when we come to Scripture. And that is that we do transmit it to the rest of the world. It picks it up here in the psalm then too, within some of these verses. The end of verse 1 says, and I shall keep it to the end. Verse 34 says, I shall keep it with all my heart. Verse 35 says, for that is my desire. When something good happens to our lives, we have to tell it to other people. We want to share with other people. The last command that Jesus gives to us is go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. This isn't kept. Christian education is not just for our congregation. Christian ed is not just for that personal person who is being taught. It's not just for that one child who is learning his or her Bible stories. Christian education is so that people learn to be Christians. They learn what Christianity is about. They learn what's within Scripture. We learn how to live with one another. We learn how to give thanks and praise to God. But we also learn to spread it, to send it out into the world so other people can also look at Scripture, so other people can come to understanding, so other people can admit that God is God and this is Scripture and submit to God with their lives so that they too may come and follow Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. And we sing our next hymn, Seek Ye First.
Thank you.
At this time, I invite all those who are a part of the Sunday school leadership, whether you are teachers or staff or work in the background of Sunday school, to please come forward at this time. So all teachers and staff and everyone, all those who are leaders involved in Sunday school, come forward. In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberated you from sin and death and made you members of his church. Through word and sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. St. Paul writes, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives to everyone ability for a particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. You have been called to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You, the teachers, are to work together with the parents of the congregation in feeding the lambs and sheep of Christ in accordance with God's word and the teachings of our church. You, the officers and staff of this Sunday school, are to be responsible for the effective administration of its work and to see that all things are done in an orderly manner. You are to be diligent in faithful study of the Word of God and in rightly teaching it with those whom you instruct may be established in the Christian faith. You are to be mindful also that your example teaches as effectively as your words. I therefore ask you, in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully endeavor to perform these duties? If so, answer yes by the help of God.
Yes, by the help of God.
Okay, and I ask that you turn around and face the congregation. People of God, I ask you, will you support these officers and teachers in their work? Will you be faithful in bringing your children to Sunday school? Will you let the work done by the students in class be a matter of deep concern to you and help them at home according to your ability? Will you encourage them by your counsel, example, and instruction to lead them to walk in conformity with the truth that has been planted in their hearts? If so, answer yes by the help of God.
Yes.
All right, y'all may turn around again. I now declare to you as installed as Sunday school teachers and staff of this congregation, God bless you with his Holy Spirit that you may prove faithful servants of Christ. Amen. And y'all may go sit down. And we continue with the prayers. Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. Bless this congregation with humility, gentleness, and wisdom. Help us to speak truth with so much love that others eagerly seek the mercy, reconciliation, and life that comes from Christ. Lord, in your mercy. You have entrusted the leaders of nations with power and authority. Teach them that they must give an account of their stewardship to you, the King and Lord of all nations. Make them willing and able to accomplish your will for the good of all people entrusted to their care. Teach us all to settle differences peacefully, to act honorably, speak respectfully, and live justly. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we pray for students, teachers, parents, and all who are involved in Christian education. May we all gain in wisdom and understanding and in your will for our lives. Lord, in your mercy. We plead on behalf of all who suffer. Grant them health, hope, guidance, and the joy of your presence in their lives. fill all who care for them with compassion. We pray especially for Guy Nobles, Sheila Keys, Sandra Heil, Pastor Craig Sturm, Joyce Lamprecht, Lynn Magura, and the families of Robert Riedesel and Elliot Cox. Lord, in your mercy. Father, sustain your creation. We pray for all places affected by natural disasters. Transform the devastation of droughts, floods, and fires into fertile ground for new life and growth. Fill heaven and earth with your life-giving spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, thank you for your little ones who have died to this world and now live eternally in your embrace. Help us to trust and obey you. Help us to aid, warn, and forgive each other. Give us your mercy, and for Jesus' sake, lead us into your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Conform our prayers to the heart of Jesus. Hear them through the interceding of your Holy Spirit, and grant them in accordance with your gracious will. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thank you.
Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Please rise. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. For our blessing today, we sing the song Benediction. It's to the tune of Edelweiss, and everyone is welcome to sing along. We sing the hymn, Here I Am, Lord.
Thank you.
go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.